Probably a good idea to pray. What do you think? It's us again, Lord. Thank you. Thanks for always walking with us, for never, ever letting us go. We're mindful of so many things these days, Lord, for all of our first responders and their families and troops. And how about for teachers, huh? They love other people's kids. Wow. We're looking at your book again today. We do pray for discernment, that you would let us know what we're supposed to learn today so we can be of maximum service to you and to others. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Got questions? I tell the confirmation kids to answer, ask questions only at certain times. I said you can only ask questions until you're dead. Isn't that a good idea for all of us? We ever get afraid that if we open our mouths, people will know how foolish we really are? I put my feet in my mouth all the time. Got questions? Yes, what's next? It's our theme that's going on. Dr. Dixon read that beautiful 1 Corinthians 13. Maybe you've heard that at a wedding. You know, the first part of it, which we didn't read, love is patient, love is kindness, not envious, boastful, arrogant, or rude, all the things that love is. And then it says, well, we start, verse 8, love never ends. As for this, as for that, as for this, and this, and this, and this. It's important, I think, whenever we read the book, that we put a little context about, whoa, tell me some more about this. Well, I've been taught that this letter was written by a guy named Paul to a church in a town called Corinth more than 10 years ago. Long time ago, this guy wrote a letter. He started a church there, Holy Spirit through Paul, started a church there, and guess what? The congregation had issues. What do my friends say in Northern Virginia? It was a hot mess. Right? Things going on in that congregation. There was drama city, sinful behavior that threatened the witness of this congregation that loved Jesus, and they were just doing all this. So it's this whole book, all 15 chapters of 1 Corinthians, and there's another book after that, 2 Corinthians, talks about ideas. Hey, this is how we're to get along as earthlings. Knock off some of this stuff, right? So, do you ever read scripture and your mind goes somewhere else? 2, 3, 4 of us. The rest of you are liars. Yeah, I was reading this the other day, and I hope technology works. Pastor Dixon is here to help me. When I was reading this, this was a song that came to mind. Ooh, how's it going? Heard that before? You're singing it. Yes. Okay, here's the trivia question for the day. 1964, 2 years before the summer of love, 3 years before the summer of love in 67. This is a dollar question. Burt Bacharach did the music. Dan Hale did the words. Who sang it the first time? That was not Dionne Warwick. Who sang it? Good guess. Thanks, Rad. No. Come on. Austin Powers. No. Good guess. Jackie DeShannon. Now I got to give it to church. I wanted to give it to you. Where are those offerings? Yeah, Jackie DeShannon. There's the offering plate. Jackie DeShannon sang that song about what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Can you relate? Not just in 64, but 24. What the world needs now is this whole chapter's about love. What comes next? Love. It was there in the beginning. Love. It's all about love, always has been. God showing up in the flesh in Jesus Christ, right? It's about love, extravagant love. Incomprehensible and indiscriminate love for the worthy and the unworthy. God goes to any length to show us how much God loves us, even to the fact that he kills his own kid, sacrifices them on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins today and eternal life for all of our tomorrows. Maybe you've heard this story. A woman was out on a drive. She was a motorhead. She wanted to go somewhere. She was on a journey, needed some quiet time. She's going on this journey, and she's unfamiliar with the route, and guess what? She gets confused and takes a wrong turn. Anyone ever done that? She stops her car and asks a passing stranger, "Can you help me? I'm lost." You can tell it's a woman because a guy would never do that. Guys don't ask for directions. "I can figure it out." Yeah. "Can you help me? I'm lost." The stranger says, "Well, where are you headed?" "Well, I'm going to Boston." Says, "Well, you're not lost. You just need directions." We all need directions. Where are you going? What are you up to? We Christians who walk this daily spiritual progress, not perfection walk, we're never really completely lost. We just get confused from time to time, right? We see, as Pastor said, we see through a mirror dimly. We know where we intend to go, to the land of serenity and peace and hope and love and forgiveness. And guess what? We all need directions daily. That's why we worship. That's why we surrender our will and our life over to the care of God every single day. We see through a mirror dimly. We don't get it all. This side of heaven, we won't. It's attractive to think that we can do this alone, right? "I know who I am. I can do it myself." The fact of life is we become disoriented and mixed up. All of us do. All of us do. Without the encouragement, wisdom, and grace and stability that we get from Christ, we'd all be lost. Thanks be to God that we never travel alone. Remember what Jesus says in the chapter 28 of Matthew, the last words, right before he goes up into heavens, he says, "And lo, I'm with you always to the close of the..." How long is always? Forever. Forever. Nothing will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So we see through a mirror dimly. Do you remember the first house you bought? A couple buys their first home, starter home for them, used obviously. And the next morning while they're eating breakfast, unpacking all their stuff, they're sitting down, the young woman saw her neighbor out the window and said, "Hey, she's hanging up her laundry out to dry." And the woman says, "Well, her laundry is so dirty. We need to get her some new soap or something. Look at how dirty that is." This goes on week after week after week about dirty laundry and how it looks terrible. About a month into it, the woman notices clean laundry. She can't get over it. "Look, someone must have taught her how to wash clothes. She's got great, it's clean, it's wonderful." Husband finally replies and says, "I got up early this morning and I cleaned our windows." So it is with life, huh? When we're watching others, it kind of depends on the clarity of the window in which we look through, right? I think the message is, it seems best if we don't pretend to know all the answers. Don't be too quick to judge others. If our, you know, especially if our perspective is off a little bit, like maybe we're angry too much or jealous or we have some resentments or some fears or negativity or unfulfilled dreams and desires. What comes next? This side of heaven, we will not have all the answers. We won't. We do live in a broken world. We do know that thanks for God's love for us through our Savior Jesus Christ, life, death, and resurrection. We have the promise of a new life today, a reality that's new, and then an eternity that's full of joy for all of our tomorrows. So what comes next? Look to the cross. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you. What comes next? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. What the world needs now is love, sweet love.